one thing I've noticed with Lovelock is you haven't retreated back to the 60s like many of the other bands in England, which seem to have really gone back to the heavy guitar sound and the rock and roller sort of
thing. There are a few songs which are quite 60s, and opposed in a way, like 500 is, I suppose, about the only one, really, I think.
Oh, but it's definitely in the style of Lush. It's a wall of guitar 60s sound.
I mean, we're not... That's the thing with us, you know, it's... We don't really change... You know, lots of groups will go through transitions. They'll go to Nashville and do their country... Or go to America and do their country album.
Find
or
their roots.
R&B album. We've never been like that, you know. It's always been... steady progression from album to album. I mean, very much like the sort of groups we sort of grew up on, I guess, and, you know, like the Cure or Susan the Banshees, or, you know, they just kept going through whatever was fashionable. They just kept plowing their path of their sort of music.
The big ride and extravaganza of My Bloody Valentine around the start of the 90s, then everyone seemed to lose their way. And just like the Roses, especially with The Second Coming, did go very find their roots in Nashville for sort of sound. So, yeah.
I think especially, definitely because, you know, Split was such a hard time for us. We weathered that. And so we can get through that and get through anything, really, I think it's been, and what kept us going, well, I think it's been difficult for other English bands, especially of that sort of shoegazing scene or whatever, you know, like Chapter House, you know, groups like that who were only reasonably popular in England. So when it didn't happen in England, that was it, basically. But for us, we always had this sort of lifeline of America, where we were no means huge, but a lot more successful than other English bands are out there. And whereas we could always go out there and play, it's been difficult for, I think it's difficult for bands that are successful in England that have to go to America, and they have to eat humble pie a bit, really, you know, because they're playing smaller clubs, they've got to work much harder, do lots of press, lots of radio, do meet and greets, meet people from record stores, do in-stores, and it's just think, well, I think most bands just can't be bothered, really, you know, 2 months being away from home doing that sort of thing, whereas for us, you know, we're more popular in America than we were here, so it was, you know, just more positive.
Sure. Go on to the Brit Awards?
No, we didn't. No, I think we were. You know what we're doing? Oh, you weren't invited.
Oh.
So you had to pay quite a lot of tickets, I think. I think you had to be either, you know, being nominated or got an award, I think, basically, or be in the industry.
Sure. So,
but no, we saw it on TV. We did actually. We met Jarvis's mum as well. We did this breakfast TV show, and Jarvis's mum was there, sort of saying what a good boy Jarvis was.
So yeah, what did you think of the whole seeing that Jarvis sang on Chow? How did you conceive of that? Because we got, I was doing a radio show the day it was, hit all the news, and I got both press releases, and Jarvis certainly wasn't backing down in his press release.
I don't blame him, really. With Chow, Mickey wrote a duet. Well, Chris wanted to, see, Chris knows Justin and Elastica, you know, the drummer in Elastica, and he sings on some of Elastica's records, well, sort of grunts anyway, and, Chris said, well, I want to sing on my Lush record. And so Mickey wrote this duet, sort of in the style of Nancy Sinatra and Lee Hazelwood. But then Chris sort of said, Chris backed down. So she had to get someone to do a duet. And she thought about getting, do you know this group called Moose here? Do you know Moose?
No, I haven't heard of Moose.
Well, she was going to get a singer from Moose, but then someone said, well, why don't you actually ask Jarvis? Because we knew them, we all know them, because they've supported us in the last few years. So she just rang him up, sent him a tape. She was quite concerned that he wouldn't like it, but in the end he said fine, and he did it in a couple of hours. It wasn't really a problem at all.
Yeah.
And then we haven't seen him since, really. Oh, the last time we saw him was probably on the Brits, you know. Yeah.
So why would Chris back down? Didn't he want to be the one getting a slap in the face or something?
Because he felt they couldn't sing.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, yeah. You guys don't ever do much singing unless, except when you do the reading of the poem. In,
we can't, that's why.
Yeah.
I've done some backing. I don't think I've got the beat that the... Which single is it? The single girl's got singles.
Oh, I haven't.
Single CDs, because Chris and I have written a couple of B-sides, and I'm actually singing on one. Well, not singing, we're doing a sort of barbershop type style song, and I'm doing the sort of low end.
Yeah.
I'm doing the bar-bars. That's been my contribution.
Yeah. Starting to stray, I think, towards some of the hip-hop beat. Can you see Lush ever sort of doing any of the thousand remix versions of such and such a song? Or?
Well, we have had remixes on the B-sides of earlier singles. There's a remix of Undertow, which was on Split, and that was on, I think it's on the B-side of, it was either Desire Lines or Hypocrite, and that was remixed by Spooky. And then there was a remix of Love Life, which is on Split, on the B-side of one of the singles as well. And, you know, there's this techno duo called The Drum Club, do you know that?
Yeah.
They remixed the song off Spooky Ocean. Well, they completely changed it.
Wow.
And they put that out as a single about 2 years ago.
Oh, so it went out
through have been remixed, and also Emma actually played on their album as well. Well, they sampled a bit of her guitar.
Oh, so they put that on their album?
Yeah. I don't think we'd ever make a hip-hop album or anything.
Yeah.
And I think especially with that, the reason that song sounds so dance is we've got Steve Osborne, who does a lot of dance stuff, to mix that song.
Yeah.
So it's got a much, much bigger bottom end to it as well.
Now, looking at the English press, having a piece of it in front of me, actually, or to the side, how have you been dealt any death blows or any sort of bombs through the English press? Have you slept with anyone you haven't slept with, or?
No, in terms of gossip?
Yeah.
Well, they make most of that anyway.
Yeah.
They just exaggerate situations, you know.
Is it pretty
easy? I know, because I used to work at the NME, and you'd give them a bit of gossip, and they'd come out completely distorted.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, they just sort of jazz it up a bit, really. I mean, I think the people who even write the gossip columns don't even think about it, but they just think, oh, let's make it a bit more interesting. They don't even think about the consequences of it, really.
Sure.
And most people in London don't take it seriously anyway. They all just know it's been distorted.
Yeah.
But I suppose the average person reading it doesn't. They'll take it deadly serious.
Yeah, well, it's like the blowout quote in this Melody Maker article. It's about smack. Whether you guys...
That was ridiculous, because... we just think he made it up out of the blue, because we'd never heard that. We've never been associated with drugs, ever. I mean, of course, other groups are, and maybe want to be, but we never have been. And, you know, he said, oh, you heard something about Mickey and I having to go to a clinic in New York to sort of dry out or whatever, or to get off heroin. It's, like, ridiculous.
Yeah, right. Now, you're about
what,
to...
What does the quote say? It's something about the fact we don't take heroin.
Oh yeah, none of us have ever taken heroin, ever. No way, smack, Christ. That's from Emma.
Well, the few bands in London do, you know, it's quite popular here at the moment, unfortunately.
So, is there any plans to head back over this way in the near future? Or?
I mean, we wanted to come to Australia on our last tour in '94, but what happened? But we didn't. We went because normally you go to Japan and then go to Australia, come to Australia. But we didn't, unfortunately. But yeah, hopefully this year. I mean, because last time we had a fantastic time.
Hmm. Yeah. Is Japan? Do you go down fairly well in Japan?
We do. I mean, we're pretty successful there. Oh. I mean, it helps Mickey being half Japanese.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, thanks a lot for speaking to me, Phil.
Pleasure.
Yeah.
Okay, and hopefully I'll see you in Perth.
Yeah, well, I'll be bouncing around. Hopefully I can drag you into this radio station and stuff. It'll be good.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right.
See you soon.
The next one. Blondie was with me for a summer. He flirted like a maniac, but I wouldn't bite. I'm weak and he was so persistent. He only had to have me cause I put up a fight. Oh God, the boy has such an ego. He likes to talk about himself all day and all night. You've been such a lady killer, but you were nothing special till you turned out the light. When he's nice to me, he's just nice to himself. And he's watching his reflection. I'm a fucking mirror for adoring himself. His 7 years back life. I wanna help him when you say you love me. You're just flattering your vanity. But I don't need your practice lines, your school of charm.
Score.